Ivory Show here this Friday morning.
Is this AC/DC? This is a new one, isn't it?
AC/DC.
Rock or bust. And play ball. Well, that's a pretty good song, huh? How's it, and by the way, how's that coffee? Tastes good, huh?
Yeah, General Shaw made the Turkish coffee. I guess you're used to sitting around a campfire and cooking up some...
And what? Cooking up sludge?
Yeah, that's right. Cooking up sludge. That's right. You know what? In fact, I make better coffee than half of you nitwits.
Don't start getting personal now.
Well, why were you insulting him?
That is exactly what cooking Turkish coffee is. It's cooking up sludge.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. All right, well, that makes me feel better. Listen to that. AC/DC starting things here with Play Ball, Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com. And Bud Dickman joining us here. Bud, how's it going?
Here's the FanDuel copy you got to do.
I got the. Thank you very much.
Yeah, don't put on his face.
Robert Leonard with us here, General Shaw.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Wait, we can't wait for this weekend, Jesus.
Right, and now what is this resistance? Why is the American flag being burned every goddamn place? It's being burned in Missouri. So there was another incident having to do with cops.
This time it's a cop shot a guy, but it was the guy shot back. Apparently.
Yeah, this was an incident, as you pointed out during the pre-show, Phil, where there was a shooting back of the individual. So this is a legitimate police action.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. Because I was looking at one of the state senators there talking from Missouri. All right. So people are pissed off, and that's why I'm seeing the flag burn. Hey, I got to tell you something. As much as I hate seeing the flag burn, I can't walk up to anybody doing that and say, you know...
You can't walk up to anybody doing that and say what?
I can't really say to the guy, you know, you shouldn't do that because it is a representation to the people who, you know, who are burning that flag. When they see a guy get shot, especially a young black man who's been shot, who was unarmed, and it resonates with a community of people who have seen cops overstep their color of authority, their bounds so many times. You know, the burning of a flag is probably a pretty legitimate protest. I wouldn't do it myself.
Well, let me tell you, if I was around anybody, and I don't give a damn I'll tell you what, somebody burns a flag in front of me, and they better light it and then run. Because I will tell you, I'm all over them like white on rice, man.
Oh, what do you mean like white on rice?
Yeah, they're black people. You could be on them on the white.
What do you say?
Doesn't mean literally.
Well,
are you trying to tell, because I said white on rice, I'm trying to turn them white? You're a jackass of a whole different...
Hey! Watch out, guys.
Just saying.
Yeah, you're just saying. You guys give me a royal pain, you know that?
All right, well, this guy that got shot by the police over the last few days in St. Louis, and there are protesters in St. Louis clashing with police. There's tear gas. This is something that has simply been brewing in this community for a long time. And the images of Michael Brown and this guy that got shot, who had a gun, who did fire back at police. These images are getting sort of mixed and mashed together, and they're two different cases, and I don't think that anybody's doing anybody any favors by combining them, you know.
Well, these were two young black males, though, Phil. I realized that one of them had a gun, but that is not necessarily... What do you mean he had a gun?
He had a gun! What do you mean?
Am I asking you...
What do I mean? He had a gun. Say what Bud said. He had a gun.
Yeah, he did have a gun. He shot back at police. That guy shot him 17 times.
Yeah, the cops are going to... Look, cops are trained to make sure the guy's dead. You know, if you're going to open fire on a guy, then you got to make sure the guy's dead, at least according to the way cops are trained. So make sure he's dead. Now, some of this stuff that's happened in the long annals of police interaction with criminals, some of the overkill that has been recorded has been... rather striking. I don't know. I don't know whether you're supposed to shoot 15 times, 14 times. Is 3 times okay? Is it like it is on TV? No. I mean, we've got a lot of people, you know.
All right, right there. You said a mouthful right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that watch too much television, you know.
Well, watch too much television. Are you saying that my understanding of police work comes from the television?
Yeah, well, what do you base it on?
You know, but I don't like you going, don't yell at me.
Okay, so what do you base your knowledge of?
But Ms. Gray is saying that, you know, you could take a shot and kill a guy or just drop the guy, you know.
Yes, what about just wounding him?
How many times have we heard cops say that if you wound a guy, what you're essentially doing is you are, if you wound a guy, what you're essentially doing is you're giving him a chance to come back up out of his, you know, prone position.
But you're looking at that flag being burned. That's really pissing me off.
Well, there's no question. The police, you can see, were backing up against those protesters. We have a society right now in flux. We have a society in flux. We are seeing now here in this country the voices of the less power or the lesser powerful, the voices of people who feel that their traditional way of life, the traditional America that they know, people who want into that traditional America, people who want into America but don't necessarily want into the traditional America. We're seeing it all now beginning to come to the fore in a way because of, I think, the election of a black president. I think that opened the gates to this. I'm not saying I'm not saying violence.
Well, you said Obama's bad?
No, he's not saying, well, maybe he was bad.
No, I'm not saying that. Shut up.
How do you say he's bad, man?
Hey. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm saying that President Obama's election sort of, I don't know, it took the handcuffs off a lot of people. And they began to articulate dissatisfaction in a lot of other areas. And part of these areas are the areas of trust between the community and the police, especially in areas of minority areas and places where black people, Latino people have lived. You know.
Well, you know, Phil, all of this stuff is real pretty indeed. But when I see the American flag being burned by a bunch of clowns, I want to go down there and I want to start swinging on this. And there's a guy on TV right now talking about this, and he's in Las Vegas. Where does he get off doing that?
Well, maybe he's on vacation.
On vacation?
Well, who? This guy here?
Yeah.
There's a panel of three people on CNN. One of the guys is in Vegas. Maybe he's a Las Vegas cop.
Hey, I doubt that. Do they got cops in Las Vegas?
What a stupid ass.
Hey, I didn't know anything about...
I'll tell you. Believe me, I will tear the nose off.
So anyway, good morning, folks. A lot of the stuff you say, bud.
I didn't know anything about it. God damn, man.
You gotta rub your nose, man. Go rub your nose off.
Yeah, I know somebody else might rub my nose off. Well, I better not say it.
Don't you... Are you talking about me sitting on it? Well, you...
Hey, I didn't do anything...
I can run, bud, run, but you can't hide.
All right. Yes, you're asking for it every day, bud.
Yeah, you just go...
Yep, I did. Every day you're asking for it, twice on Sunday. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Brass Villanueva is going to join us from Los Malos, which is a Latino empowerment organization that he has been the head of and sometimes not the head of, and sometimes he's been thrown out of it. And then he's been brought back in, and then he has been thrown out of it again, and you know, it's weird. Anyway, we're going to talk to Brass Villanueva this morning with regard to the, you know, recent civil disturbances in that their place called St. Louis. Well, folks, FanDuel.com is now entering another week of action, another week of play, and I'm telling you, things are just as exciting as ever with the folks at FanDuel.com, and it ought to be with you, too. FanDuel.com is the leader in fantasy football entertainment, the leader in fantasy football payouts. In fact, FanDuel.com is not your traditional fantasy football format. FanDuel.com is a place where you can go and you can play 1 week at a time with a brand new team, a brand new set of players, brand new money, and a brand new opportunity to dominate, to absolutely destroy the competition. All you do is go to FanDuel.com and go to the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter in our code HENDRY, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and begin play. And the first 50 people to sign up are going to get their dollars matched up to $200. Listen, yeah, that's right. You know, I can see everybody writing things down.
Well, even I'm writing this down for Frank.
Yeah, well, I know. Frank plays this?
Oh, Frank plays FanDuel. Oh, Frank does all of it. He does it all, and he does it good. Frank covers the waterfront with all of this.
Well.
Don't you say it, bud. Yes, all of this sports.
So that got nothing to do with...
No, it has nothing to do with sex. And I'm surprised at you, Robert, that you would...
Would you guys just let me finish?
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr.
Thank you. So FanDuel.com covers the waterfront, and I don't mean it's all sex.
No, I don't.
Right, FanDuel.com is the place to go for the maximum payout in fantasy football, weekly fantasy football action. Just go to FanDuel.com and become a member. And every week you you create a brand new team, you enter new competitions, and you can start, your entry fee starts at $1 on up, man. It's not going to break the bank, baby. And they pay out real money here. We're not talking about some virtual bread or some bull crap or, you know, this is real dough, and this is real big-time football action. FanDuel.com, for all of your fantasy football needs, go to FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com, and go to the microphone there in the upper right-hand corner, enter in the code Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, that's H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and next thing you know, Jack, you are going to be living large with FanDuel.com. All right, Bob Bakian with our traffic. Bob?
That's only here on the highways and byways around Southern California. They're all getting ready to go out of town for the weekend because we ain't bothered with the beak then. And those man here has got a beak there with a beak on. If you put your beak on, you go out here on the beach, and we're going to see a lot of people playing volleyball and going out of the tribe. What member of a tribe are you? And, of course, of all the people who are in the Indian tribe going down there. We've got down the South Bay, coming up into the Los Angeles area here to downtown. Boy, look at that traffic to downtown. It's going downtown. It's round, round. There's a bound to round, round, and there's a man out there on the bound, round, and there's a guy crawling up the crowd round. This is Bob Bakian with the traffic here, and, of course, we'll remember that we have the Bob Bakian with the traffic. Hello. Hello, help me. Hello.
Thanks, Bob.
Hello.
Jay-Z, man.
Jay-Z and Tom Ford. We'll be right back.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. What is that stink? Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Jesus, bud. Coming down. Right clean, fix your hair in my crown. Bad bitch. H-Town. Keep it trill. Y'all know y'all can fuck a crown. Coming up. Coming down. Right clean, fix your hair in my crown. Bad bitch. H-Town. Keep it trill. Y'all know y'all can fuck around. Hold up. I don't pop Molly, I rock Tom Ford. All right, welcome back here, Phil Hendry Show. Brad's filling a wave is going to join us. You know, there's been all kinds of problems in St. Louis and Missouri and elsewhere. Brass right now, who is, you can hear the dishes. And I understand, I'm going to make the statement now, Brass. You have an auto detailing business. You're not a busboy. So what are you doing in the middle of the restaurant there?
Well, it's possible, Mr. Henry, that, I'm out, having a cup of coffee, having some breakfast or something right now. That's possible what I'd be doing right now, Mr. Henry. Right now, actually, what I am doing, okay, is I'm picking up my brother's paycheck. This is his last paycheck. Because my brother is now full-time in the auto detailing business.
Wait a minute, Brass, this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
You have the auto detailing business with your brother, and he was also working as a short order cook?
Now, my brother was working here as a busboy. Well, I just made a mistake. Tony, if you listen, man, what I meant to say is I didn't mean to say that you were working here as a busboy. I meant to say that you were working here as a cook. And I made a mistake, Mr. Henry. He's not working here. He was working here as a cook, but I shouldn't have said anything about it. He's working here as a busboy and not as a cook. I meant to say he's working here as a cook.
Well, why don't you just tell the truth? Your brother quit, right?
He quit because he's going full-time in the auto detail.
Well, that's good, then, if he's going into auto detailing full-time.
Right, but I want people thinking he's coming off a job here, working at, I gotta go outside here.
It's very noisy where you are, Brass. This is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you still super suspicious of me because I'm a member of the moneyed classes?
Well, yeah, even though you say you're liberal and you care about poor people, I don't...
You'll never trust that. You don't understand that the money that Frank and I have, we use to help those that are less fortunate. But I suppose you think that is all pandering and condescending.
Many ways it feels that way, but I also recognize that there's a lot of things that are confusing me, especially what's happening in Missouri right now.
What is confusing you about Missouri?
I'm not sure what if I got out and began to protest along with the people in Missouri about police brutality and the way the police are acting. I don't know in practical terms what that feels like, because I've never been victimized by police brutality. I'm not saying that other Latino men have not been victimized by police brutality, but I think that I haven't.
What do you mean you think you haven't?
Are you not sure?
I'm not sure.
Well, wait a minute. Everybody knows if they've been brutalized by police brutality.
Well, there's one thing to have a cop talk to you rude and talk to you mean and everything, but it's another thing entirely if you're beat up, you know. Now, I've never been beat up, as far as I know, but I'm not sure. I went home on any given night, took a look at myself after I had a confrontation with a cop.
Wait, hold on. Don't you know whether a cop has hit you with a nightstick or beat you up or anything like that?
Of course I do.
Then why do you got to look in a mirror to make sure that you haven't been beat up with a nightstick or hit by a cop?
Because I'm so removed from my experience. This is what I've talked to you, Mr. Henry, about for many a day.
Yeah, Phil, this is something he's talked with you about. The fact that he's very removed from his experience.
Wait a minute, Margaret, I want him to answer the question. Why don't you know whether you've been beat up by a cop or not?
Because I was saying, Mr. Henry, I've been so removed from my experience and reality as a Latino male, as a young man of Latin heritage who is trying to rediscover his roots, that I don't know from one day to the next whether I have been brutalized or not. It feels to me like I haven't, but I don't know.
Let me tell you something. I'm a white guy, okay? And I'm fully in sync with my roots as a white guy. And if a guy took a billy stick and beat me over the head with it, and it was a cop, I would know that I'd just gotten...
Phil, you're butchering it up. I would know that I would just gotten...
Yeah, Phil, slow down a little bit.
I would know that I had just gotten beaten over the head with a billy stick.
All right, but would you know why? Would you know why? You'd have your opinion, and the cop would have his opinion, but would that be police brutality? That's the whole thing.
Would it what?
He's saying, would it... I'm sorry.
Margaret, you know...
Oh, Jesus, Henry, at some point we've got to jump in.
Yeah, so we need to help you out here.
Yeah, you know, because I can only explain it so much.
I can understand what you're saying. What are you saying?
Would you know if you got beat over the head by the police with a billy stick? Would you know if... if it was police brutality, would you not?
Yeah, would you not?
I'm asking Henry that.
What?
I'm asking Henry that.
I would know that I got beat over the head with a billy stick. Would it be police brutality? I would think that I'd know whether I'd done something that warranted it.
Oh, so you know police procedure that well. You've been involved with the police that much. See, I'm saying that you have not been involved with the police that much. I'm saying you would not know that. That's the whole reason why I would not know that.
So you'd know that you'd gotten hit with a billy stick, but whether it was police brutality, you would not know.
No, because of the separation I've had away from my culture, because the white culture in this country takes young men of color like myself, like Los Molos, young men of color in Los Molos and other organizations, other Latino empowerment organizations, and it separates us out from our culture and makes us feel like we are, what do you want to call we are nothing, you know, that we don't belong nowhere.
Hey, listen, I heard you one time, Villanueva, saying that you were so separated from your culture, you thought Taco Bell was good Mexican food. Do you still believe that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So you are still separated from your culture that much?
Yeah, see, that part I'm completely, I'm confused by.
Well, that's the reason, Mr. Henry.
I'm going to just tell you right now, Mr. Henry. I would love to go down to Missouri and protest the police action down there. but I don't feel, I wouldn't feel comfortable because if I got the billy stick across the head and I got the hell beat out of me, I lay there on the street thinking I somehow deserved it. And that part, so that's what Los Mulas is all about, you know.
Los Mulas is all about trying to figure out whether you deserve getting kicked, getting the crap kicked out of you.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Read it and weep, you don't like that, that's fine. I got four other ideas that I could throw at you.
Here's my question for you. So you don't need to go down to Missouri. What you need to do is sit down with a group of you guys and figure it out.
Well, we have, later on, the sponsor's going to have a field trip to LAPD. And at that time, there's going to be a group of us, because we're going to have a very small meeting here later today. Then a group of us are going to go down to LAPD headquarters and request that we have a sit-down with some LAPD police officers and be clear on what it would be that we say that would trigger them to take a billy stick and hit us across the head, and then find out whether that's a legitimate police response or whether that is police brutality, and then have them take us out to the parking lot. And
beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Brass, this concept that you're laying on us here is way out there.
No, it ain't way out there.
Well, I'll be one way. If this guy's that dumb, maybe it'll help.
Yeah, maybe it'll help if the guy's that dumb.
I ain't that dumb, man. I told you, I'm that far removed from...
From your experience as a Latin male in American culture, what you're telling me is you've been treated so well... You don't know what the difference is between police brutality and legitimate police action.
I've not been treated well. I just haven't had it all that bad, you know. But you watch as these events unfold in Missouri.
If you haven't had it that bad, then why are you here talking about this?
Because if I went... Oh, man.
Don't you understand what he's saying? If he went down there now...
I understand what he's saying. Don't yell at me.
If he went down there now, and the police took a billy stick and beat the head in, and he's all walking around with a squished-in head, he'd go, okay, why'd you do that? And they go, on account of you did this and that. He'd go, I didn't know anything about it.
Exactly, right there. Right what that man said right there. That's exactly right.
What that man said right there, huh? You know, Villanueva, I've got dollars to donuts. Betting that you wouldn't know what he just said or anything that you've just said, if I threatened to take your life and everything. Where's the ice cream?
Yeah, we got some Ben and Jerry's in the.
You're eating ice cream?
Yeah. What's it to you?
Nothing.
Oh wow! Yeah, that reminds me. I'd like to have some breakfast too, can I? I'd like to have some breakfast, Mr. Harris. It's all the same to you.
Go ahead, have breakfast.
All right, but that means I got to get off the phone.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot, man.
All right. I want the chorizo.
Well, Phil, this has been a confused individual for as long as you've had him on the program with his ideas of being separated from Hispanic culture.
Hey, where are the spoons? Where's that ice cream scooper?
Oh, here, let me help you.
Hey!
Yeah?
I'm in the middle of a show here.
Sorry.
Say that again.
Say what again?
What you just said?
I said, this is it, Robert.
Yeah, this is a guy you've had on the program, Mr. Henry, that he's, he never had his head thinking, you know, he never had his head on straight. He sounds as confused as a man. And then the guy comes on, he says, I still don't know about the Latin experience in America because I've been treated too good.
Well, we stop having this guy on the show, okay?
What are you talking about?
Hey, if you want to talk to me, come in here, man, and quit helping out with the ice cream.
Just trying to find the ice cream scooper. I bought it special.
Yay, way to do it, man.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you booking this guy, Villanueva. This guy has been, he's been a pain in the ass for as long as we've had him on the show. He's trying to make, he's playing pretend activist. This cat, I don't know where he's from, but he obviously came from a background that is not all that difficult. I think he had money. I think he had good support from his parents. He probably had a good education somewhere along the line. He decided that he wanted to be all pissed off, but he doesn't know how to do it because he's, he's...
I'm treated too good.
Well, I went down to his auto detailing business one afternoon, and I spoke with him on this very subject. I do have a recording of that if you want to hear it, Mr. Henry, because I think, This is important. And it comes to what we're talking about. Here I am talking to Brass Villanueva. And
wait. What are you doing?
Oh, this is that we didn't tell you?
What do you mean we didn't tell you?
That was a interview that he did with Brass Villanueva.
Well, let's listen to the kid just to his work.
Yeah.
All right, but next time, tell me, okay?
I wanted to segue into it.
All right, we'll segue into it.
As I was saying, God.
You kind of messed it up, Phil.
Phil, you interrupted the flow.
Yes, I understand.
Brass Villanueva is confused, and I went down to the auto detailing business that he has with him and his brother have an auto detail business, and I asked him that very question.
What about it? Well, okay, you say what? If you went into that store right now and you said, okay, I want to rob it.
And then I'd go and I'd rob it, but it wouldn't be because I feel oppressed, because I never felt oppressed.
But we could go into the store right now and rob it and everything.
I'm not going to go and rob a store, Dickman.
So that was really, and it's a very fascinating one-hour special that I hope to put together.
Wait a minute, man. What was your one-hour special?
Well, he did an hour-long interview with Brass Villanueva on, what was it, Bud?
Well, just whether there's the type of Mexican that's not been oppressed.
Oh, really? And you did this thinking what?
Well, he wanted to put it on the show, on the network.
Oh, you wanted to just put it on my show, huh?
Well, I mean, God, man. Just heard the interview you done did with him. It's about as bad as it gets. In my interview, I'm talking about everything.
What do you mean it's as bad as it gets? I can't get anything straight out of this guy because he's a pretend activist. What is this series of questions you asked him? Let's go rob a store. And if we robbed the store, would it be because you were oppressed? And he said no. Well, we could still go in and rob it. Why'd you say that?
On account of he's a Mexican and people would be afraid of it.
Yeah, don't you understand, Phil?
I think you guys should all get together and have yourselves some kind of a Mad Hatter tea party, okay?
Here we go again, Phil. We're all crazy because we don't agree with you.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing.
No, not here's the thing, anything. This guy here, Dickman, is telling me that he did, and I heard part of the interview.
Yeah, just go, duh. That undermines you constantly, Mr. Henry.
Let me finish before you start telling me all about how I phrase things. I just heard you do an interview here with this guy, asking him not once, but twice, and maybe three times, I don't remember, let's go rob that liquor store or...
No, I said a grocery store.
Oh, well, thank you for clearing that up, bud. Thank you.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil.
Phil, just if you'll let me explain...
No, I will explain. I will explain by asking Bud. So then the guy says, no, I'm not going to go rob the liquor store. And you said, well, let's go ahead and rob the liquor store because you're a Mexican and people would be afraid of you?
I was saying... of the cultural reality of it.
You know, this is the only show that I know of where when we do an investigative piece, if we do an investigative piece, which is, you know, like never, that it takes us further away from the solution of the problem, not closer. We get further and further away.
Well, Phil, I think that's a very harsh judgment, for God's sake. What about the piece I did on the Brandywine Gang? Bill, I know it. It was Bill Bubala and the Brandywine Gang. You remember that, General?
Yeah, those are the bank robbers back there. Well, they were bank robbers, but they'd only succeeded in the... You remember that, Phil? They knocked over all the pizza places.
But they were bank robbers.
You don't remember?
No, I do not remember.
Well, it never aired, but I had you listen to it at my house that night.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at him. It's almost as if someone took a white-hot poker and forced you to sit on it. You're all, ooh.
Margaret, I remember sitting down at your house, and you put something on the on your cassette player at the time.
Oh, the cassette player at the time, meaning that was years and years ago in ancient history, but now we have brand new digital recorders. Is that it?
Yeah, I believe it was a cassette recorder, right?
Go ahead.
What a baby. You know, I'm not even gonna...
What a baby! Why will you not address my very legitimate concern?
Because you just belched like a child. So everything is done, and I'm not gonna talk about it.
Well, Phil, I think you're being very close-minded.
Hey, what is it with everybody this morning, okay? I mean, I get it that, you know, most of the time you guys are working at cross-purposes from me, but what is it with you guys all of a sudden this morning on this Brass Villanueva? That's the stupidest interview I've ever heard. Your interview with him, by the way, was worse.
And guess who was conducting the interview this morning? You were.
Oh! Oh, you got to that one.
Yeah, I was. You're right. You're right. I take full responsibility. That interview you did with him, Bud, was about as dumb as I ever heard. And then, Margaret, you with the whole the Brandywine bank robbers, they knocked over pizza joints. You guy, like I said, you keep proving it over and over again. Over and over again.
Talk about taking it further away.
No, wait, hold on for a minute.
No, over and over, every time you guys do anything around here to try to make things clearer, to try to solve a problem, to try to make things grooviosity, you cats butcher that shit six ways to sunset, so don't tell me about it. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, Hoodie Allen here with numbers. On October the 29th, the Ontario Improv will be the site of the World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, and Explosion of Weird Part 2. This will be our fourth or fifth, I think, live show. I don't know. But the World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, and Explosion of Weird Part 2 is part of our Part 5, some jazz like that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, join us at the Ontario Improv, October the 29th. Get tickets now. Get tickets now. Come on out and see our live stage show, our one man with me, Phil Henry, and a cast of thousands, if not hundreds, if not just a few out there on stage with us.
These were the days that we had to run.
It's the world famous Phil Henry Show from the M Pacifico.
From the L
Pacifico in Southern California. I am Bud Dickman.
All of my friends
hey,
who were
I'm applauding myself.
Yay. And when it ends, it was you and I. Why can't we all win together? All these lucky numbers that never discover, just one in a million. These lucky numbers show what we're made of. We're scratching the paper. No, it's never paid off, but my number will come.
Are you tired of waiting around for the guy with a Roto-Rooter to come to your house to try to snank that toilet? The Bill Biffington twins will come out dressed sexy in high heels and hot pants, and they'll clean your toilet out. You've never seen anything like Bill Biffington's twins. These are his twin daughters. After years and years working in the insurance business, years and years as a trucker, years and years selling jelly beans, doing anything he could to make money, he took one look at his twin daughters and went, "Oh my God, here's the solution. Put those girls in hot pants, high heels, and a flimsy burnous. Have them go out to people's houses and snake out the toilet. I'll make millions." And he was right. Bill Bertrand's twins, they clean out your toilet. If I can only remember their name. Bill Bertrand's twins, they'll clean out your toilet. What's your name, baby?
I'll tell you what, whoever's working overtime buying advertising for this show, God almighty, God, is it brutal. What are you laughing about? It is brutal.
You could be the one. What is funny, Phil?
What do you think is funny? The general's funny. You're killing me, General. All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. In a moment, Herb Sewell will join us to talk about what I think is absolutely fascinating. And by the way, this is part and parcel of our new BSP Only Saturday show. The new BSP Only Saturday show is going to be for our BSPs. They know all about the show that I do. They know all about the behind the scenes of the show I do. They know all about all of that. What they're entitled to and what we're going to give, and if you're a Backstage Pass member, you will get this as well. Our Saturday show will be a little bit more from Between the Ears. Yes, how do you like that as a title?
No, I don't like it.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a difficult time naming the new Phil Henry BSP show. Phil Henry BSP Only, Backstage Pass, how about that?
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's called Phil Henry Show, Backstage Pass Only.
Well, it sounds as if they're watching you putting on your clothes. You know what I mean? It's like they're watching you get out of the shower and towel off. Hi, I'm Phil Henry, and I've just taken a shower, and I think I'll stand here and towel off, including wiping.
Yeah, probably, toweling off the balls and everything.
Did I say that? If I wanted to say that, I...
Hey, who's this guy? Some guy got on a plane. I have Ebola, and you're all screwed. Did you hear that? Some dude walking down an aisle... And these guys are actually walking down aisles in... Was that for real? These cats were walking down the center aisle of an aircraft in a rubber suit. I have Ebola. You're all screwed. That guy thinks that's funny. In other words, just walk down the center aisle of an aircraft dressed in some kind of a hazmat suit, a makeshift hazmat suit, and this guy believes that he's making everyone laugh. That guy was entitled to have his ass beat to shit, don't you think?
Well, this is the kind of amateur comedy that is now afoot.
Well, actually, it was three guys. It was one guy.
Yeah, it was one guy without a hazmat suit, and the other two guys had on hazmat suits, and they said, "Yeah, I've got Ebola. You're all screwed."
Is that supposed to be funny? I guess it is. Yeah. How about this, man? I mean, why don't I do this? Why don't I, for instance, get the pictures of just regular innocent people and put them up on a website and say, I have just kidnapped all of these kids and they're in a cave someplace and I demand, a ransom of $1,000 per kid, you know? That would be funny, I guess, huh?
Well, it is kind of funny.
No, it ain't, man. No, it's just, it's lame shit humor that is pumped out into the process. So that some poor bastard somewhere who's actually living his life as I don't know, a counter guy at Arby's Jr., or maybe he's throwing baggage around at the airport, and he can be the stand-up comic or the sit-down comic or the YouTube comic that he always wanted to be. Jesus. Well, that stuff pisses me off. Why wouldn't it?
Phil, I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Bunch of chump change motherfuckers get on an airline, put on some hazmat suits, have a guy walk down the center of the aisle and say, I got Ebola, you're all screwed. And that's their moment in the sun. That's their opportunity to be, oh my God. No, it ain't funny. What it is like a little kid taking shit out of its diaper and throwing it around the room. Yeah, that's funny unless they throw some on you, motherfucker. Oh!
Well, Phil, you're getting a little wrapped up in this thing.
I'm just telling you, it pisses me off. All right, a couple of things here. One of them is the status of North Korea's Kim Jong-un, and we'll talk about that with Herb Sewell. Herb Sewell is a researcher for a variety of, shall we say, higher education institutions around the country. The reason why we are being a bit coy here is because Herb is currently on parole. He's on parole after having been incarcerated briefly. In the state system, part of that time was at Atascadero, which is a forensic hospital in Northern California, after having committed a variety of crimes against children and women, and I won't get any more specific than that. Otherwise, good morning, Herb.
Good morning, Phil, and thank you very much.
You see, this is what I mean. You get your good morning, Herb, after laying out a thing like that. I, under protest, will not sit here.
You don't have to sit here.
You go ahead and you run away, General. You do. You run away. That's the big bad General.
Hey, let me tell you, Sewell, if you were here, we wouldn't have your problem anymore. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yay!
What is that, moron? So you're threatening me, is that it?
He's gone.
Yes, he got up and left, Herb.
So he got up and left, but not before threatening me by saying, were I there, that he would essentially end me, and then I heard Dickman go, hey, isn't that right?
Yeah, because I thought what he said was good.
Well, you know what would be good, Bud, is if you suddenly just, well, I don't know, died when an airliner engine dropped to the ceiling of that student. Dropped to the ceiling. I've been insulted here in the first few minutes. I have had my dignity smirched and besmirched. And I have to tell you that it's hurtful, Phil.
All right. All of that having been said, let's move forward now with our discussion of Kim Jong-un. I apologize on behalf of our staff, but as you know, Herb, and as I've told you, you know...
Hold on. I think there's a woman that looks exactly like Mother on television. I know it couldn't possibly be Mother because she's dead low these many years, but I just... Oh, this is the Joan London thing. What is it that Joan London did?
Joan London is... It's a place for senior living, retirement.
Oh, yes. I saw a woman that bore a striking resemblance to Mother, and I thought, you know, I put her in the ground, you know. That guy can't be Mother.
Well, Herb, your relationship with your mother is your relationship with your mother. Can we continue with what it is you were going to talk about?
Certainly, Miss Gray. I wouldn't want to run afoul of the great Grand Dame Margaret Gray, who is, truth be told, has been... and has done her fair share of some pretty sadistic sadistic and sick things herself.
What are you talking about?
I think you know what I'm talking about. I think in your life...
Excuse me.
Wait, hold on. What are you saying?
I just think that Margaret Gray gives the impression...
I will not allow this. I was going to get up and leave and pretend like I was going to the bathroom, but now I am going to sit here, and I'm going to tell you what I think, and then I'm really going to go in and...
Take a dump?
Yes, in the words of... Forget it.
See, you get tongue-tied every time I come on the program. Usually I'm the one. If I were to see you, Margaret, anywhere, at any time, any place, I should be the one getting tongue-tied, because I can well imagine what my tongue is going to be put through.
How dare you, you animal! I can only back up with what General Shaw said. Were you here, it would be the end to you. And if that guy on TV is in his 50s, then I'm a man.
If that guy on TV, what did you just say?
Never mind. Well, Miss Gray, don't say it, bud.
All right, I've had about enough of this. What's the problem here? What are you saying?
What I'm saying is that I think, if truth be told, Margaret Gray has been a party and part and parcel of some very sadistic things.
Like what? What do you have knowledge of?
Nothing. I don't have any knowledge of anything. I'm saying, if you just one look at her, and, you know, you can tell.
So you're not saying she done did anything.
No, I'm not saying she done did anything. God, how do you sit morning after morning next to that?
All right, well, what I heard was... Margaret Gray has done some pretty sadistic things, and then a whole lot of threats being thrown back and forth. Margaret?
Yes?
Talking about ending him for all time?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. I will not listen to this.
You owe her an apology.
I don't owe her an apology. I said, if you people had let me finish what I was saying, she appears to be someone who, in my opinion... Now, the legs on this woman in the blue dress...
Would you stick to the point?
I'm sorry. She appears to be a woman... who, in my opinion, has been guilty of some very sadistic and sick things that I have no personal knowledge of. But if Margaret Gray were called on the carpet for the sadistic, sick, and twisted teasing, and I'm going to say it, and you've said that I could, the dick teasing that this woman has...
All right.
Clear.
Okay, we lost our connection there.
I want you to... you hung up on him. Tell people the truth.
You did, Henry. You hung right up on him.
Where'd you come from? Weren't you getting ice cream?
I got it. What are you talking about, man? I've already got my ice cream.
You've already got... All right, so...
Tell people what... You don't do that, Phil. Don't say that you hung up on him. Don't say that he hung up on... Don't say that you lost... God damn you.
We lost... Okay, so I hung up on him.
Yeah, that's it. You hung up on a guy. And why? Because the guy said the dick tease.
And if he said that and I hung up on him, what do you think I'm going to do to you?
Well, Phil, there is a certain level of freedom.
You know, Margaret, I do... may I say something and may I be candid?
No.
Well, I'm going to say it anyway.
All right, then I'm leaving the room.
Go ahead.
What do you mean, go ahead? You're telling me to go ahead and you let her leave the room?
I can't let her... I can't make her stay here. You know, if she's going to leave, she's going to leave.
I'm now in the bathroom. I can't hear anything.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, there's some, I went ahead and I went and cut up a bath towel for you.
Thank you. When we run out of toilet paper, Phil, Bud will cut up a bath towel.
Yes, I heard all of that.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you.
They said that she was capable of dick teasing a guy. I don't think she is capable of... I think you are capable, Margaret, of dick-teasing. I don't think you do it. And I think some men would be immune to you dick-teasing them only because, to some men, you would not... They just can't conceive of it.
So in other words, you're only making it worse. I'm going to run the water now so I can't hear anything. Goodbye.
Margaret.
No, goodbye.
All of these insults aside, all of these things that have been said ad nauseum down through these many minutes on the program, I don't think it's doing any of us any good. I think that Herb Sewell being on the show, if we'd just been able to stick to the God GD point on this thing, we would have been way better off. but unfortunately, we could not. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We are, we were going to talk about North Korea, and we will talk about North Korea without Herb Sewell, I guess. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Don't go away. Stick around. You know, do the do and the funky chicken, too. Here's Slayer, Wrong Side of Heaven. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. What have
I done? Yeah, you ought to get a backstage pass for the Phil Henry Show website by going to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass and subscription today, man. Today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today.
Slayer, man, it's Five Finger Death Punch.
I forget.
No, it's Five Finger Death Punch.
Side of hell.
I'm running the water.
Yeah, I can hear you running the water. Could you close the door or something, bud? Thank you very much. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here. So, here's the story. There is... Would you turn that off? Not turn it off. Get her out of there or something.
Well, you want me to turn off what? You want me to turn me off?
That's pretty... What a child.
What is childish about it, Phil? You're talking all kinds of dirt and trash about me, talking about me not being a dick teaser, telling me that I am. You're hanging up on people.
Sit down. Well, I'm trying to say something, you're running that water.
I didn't think I was drowning you out. I didn't want to hear the garbage.
Well, Margaret, I was trying to reinterpret.
There's no reinterpreting Herb Sewell, so forget it. And why would you want to be known as a dick teaser?
I don't want to be known as a... God, the language is unbelievable, Phil. It really is.
Yeah. Why would you want to be known as a dick teaser? Excuse me for saying that.
Would you please not use that word?
No, I will not please not use that word.
What?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't want to be known... to finish the thought, I don't want to be known as a dick teaser because I don't... God, you know, this is beneath me. It really is.
Come on, we've got the time. We're wasting daylight.
We're wasting daylight.
Why don't you want to be known as that?
Shove it way up there. Shove it up there and keep it there.
So she's left. That'll be the 19th time this morning.
No, it isn't.
That she's left. Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader who has been absent from public view for more than a month, skipped an important annual ritual on Friday, a development likely to fuel further speculation about his whereabouts and even his grip on power. Now, we have not talked to Lloyd Bonafide in quite some time. He's very elderly. Lloyd is a little bit of, as we were told by his daughter, a little bit of dementia. But we do want to speak to Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. And talk to him. We had Herb Sewell here a moment ago, but he ran afoul of Margaret with his language and his whole act and his whole... He's just an inappropriate swine hunt. Lloyd, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Henry.
And so wonderful to speak to you. I know that your daughter is taking you over to the doctors this morning. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm doing fine. And a very good morning to everyone. And the Phil Henry Show, I haven't spoken to you in a while.
Lloyd, how are you? This is General Shaw.
Yes, very good, General. God bless you.
Now, have you heard about, as a Korean War veteran, you have followed events in that country off and on for a long time. What do you think about this Kim Jong-un not making it out to the parade grounds for this big Communist Party anniversary? This is him not being there is very, very significant. All the great leaders of North Korea have been to these annual functions.
Well, this is, as you indicated on your broadcast a moment ago, Phil, this is blatant admission by the North Korean that this Kim Jong-un, who's a kid and wasn't old enough, I don't think he was old enough to do anything, to drive a car, to pick up the tab in the bar room. I don't even think he's legal to drink a glass of beer. And yet they had him calling the shots for a nation of people who are long suffering. When I was in Korea, and I was notching off my belt of bull haircut at a time, people laughed at me. But you know, now when you look at Kim Jong-un, what's that on top of his head? That's a haircut that you can't get anywhere. Unless you put a wooden salad bowl over the top of the man.
Yes, well, there. You know what, Lloyd? You're absolutely right. I can't deny that.
That's the truth, friend.
That's right. That's right. And in Korea, when I would go to war against the Korean, one bull haircut, two bull haircut, three bull haircut, bull. Four bull haircut, five bull haircut. Now we're going on a roll. When the bull haircut come to you and you see his head, you will make sure you get the bull haircut and then get yourself off to bed. Now, this is the song that we sang.
Wait, is this a song you sang in Korea?
Well, if you let me finish, this is the song we sang.
Yeah, well, it was the Korean... Now, you were in the Navy, right?
I was in the Navy, yeah.
What did you do relative to the ground forces in the Navy?
Well, we were there to getting the Marines out of there at the Chosin Reservoir. But we provided support. We're the ones that landed the Marines in the first place when General MacArthur decided on the counterattack. And we'd stay on the deck of the SS... I don't remember the ship I was on, so I call it affectionately the Good Ship Lollipop. But the Lollipop at that time had a big battery of guns.
But it was not called the Lollipop, though.
Well, who said that?
This is General Shaw. It wasn't called the Lollipop.
I know it wasn't the Lollipop. I can't remember the ship's name, so I call it the Good Ship Lollipop. Okay?
Well, you could think of a more respectful name, couldn't you?
No, I couldn't. No. No, I could not. That's what came to mind. And on the Good Ship Lollipop, let me explain to you, General. The name may sound like a little tiny girl is the commander, but the Good Ship, you stopped laughing when we opened up on you with those starboard side guns. Then you're not laughing anymore. Then you're not going, ha, 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 the Good Ship Lollipop, what a bunch of pussies. Well, and when we opened up, and we started laying in a barrage, and we softened up those defenses for a good solid 6 hours. No one's going to hobby. This is what it sounded like. It sounded like, ha, 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 the Good Ship, ah, I'm dead. That's what it sounded like. And I'm doing fine. My daughter wants to get the... We got to go to the doctor, Phil.
I understand that, and I was very, very grateful to your daughter, Irene, for letting us speak to you. You're almost at the doctor's office.
Almost there? Yes, she said we're almost there. But just remember that if you want to laugh at me being on a Good Ship Lollipop, we'd sing this song as we loaded up those guns. And I dropped a shell on my foot, which put me in Tokyo for about 2 weeks at R&R. But we'd say, one bull haircut, two bull haircut.
We know already.
No, you don't know already. No, you don't. That's the whole point. No, you don't. You listen, but you don't learn, Margaret.
one bull haircut, two bull, well, you know how it goes, and then we'd go, hey there, Mr. North Korean, I'm about to open up on your bunkers there, and they'll go, we don't care, boom, boom. That's what it would sound like. So don't ever make any mistake. All right, we're in the driveway now to the doctor's office, Bill. We gotta go.
All right, Lloyd. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Lloyd.
Goodbye.
So you think it's amusing to get a man who is senile?
Excuse me for a moment. That man is not. I said he has exhibited at. I talked to his daughter before we brought him on the air. She said he's fine. He has moments where he is not as lucid as they'd like him to be, but he's fine. Okay.
Well, what's he going over to the doctor for if he's not fine?
Well, let me tell you something, Dickman. You go to the doctor, even if you're, you know, an old man, you go to the doctor for a checkup.
He's going over to the doctor for just that. He had a flu bug, and they're getting him checked up, and he doesn't drive anymore, so his daughter's taking him.
Now, he doesn't drive anymore. Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bop. Hold on. Bop.
Hey, slow down.
That's the guy that drove that, recreational vehicle run that lady off the road. Yeah, remember that time?
Yeah, I remember all that bullshit. Boy, they're showing this poor guy, this Mark Donnelly. Is that cat's name? Let's listen to this again. Did you guys hear this? This is the poor guy that was singing hold on. Bud, can you get that up on...
Yeah.
We're going to listen to this poor man, Mr. Donnelly. He's the chap that was singing the national anthem, the Canadian national anthem, at the beginning of a hockey game. I guess it was last night. Perhaps it was a little bit earlier than last night. It was a Vancouver Canuck game. And a guy came out, and you'll hear him stumble. So,
well, what do you mean a great save?
Got everybody to sing it.
Yeah, everyone in the crowd sang it. So it was, I think it was a very good save. This gentleman tripping over the carpet. What happened was, if you didn't see it, he's just skating along and he hit the red carpet that oftentimes they'll lay out on the ice for dignitaries and for anyone singing the anthem. But he was on ice skates and he was skating around the arena. And for whatever reason, he just didn't see the red carpet that was directly in front of him. It was, you know, it could have been could have been difficult to hear with the lights swirling around, and maybe he was concentrating too much in the crowd, or maybe he just, you know, saw it but didn't see it. You know, it's
yeah, a lot of times you'll see something but your mind is so transfixed on something else.
Yes, that your mind becomes enamored of another image other than the one that is in front of you.
Oh, and welcome back to the studio.
You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you.
But yes, but I'm anticipating that you will, and I'm saying you're welcome.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, folks, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much, Herb Sewell and Brass Villanueva. Bobby Dooley is going to make a special announcement here in a few minutes on the show. It may be good news to some of you. It may not be good news to others of you. I don't know. We'll see. We'll be back. Phil Henry and PhilHenryShow.com. Want you to get over and get your tickets to the Phil Henry Show, The World of Phil Henry, at the Ontario Improv on October the 29th. Our live show. This will be our 5th live show of our World of Phil Henry series. The radio show takes to the stage, this time at the Ontario Improv, October 29th.
This is Jay-Z and Rick Ross. Fuck with me, you know I got it.
Yeah. How many times have you said, I need new eyeglasses, but you never go and get them? Dr. Foster here for Dr. Foster's big, big, big glasses. We put on glasses that are huge. You look stupid, but you can see through people's clothing at Dr. Foster's.
Come fuck with me, you know I got it.
Hey, This is Rick Ross for Dr. Foster's Glasses. And you can hear his opinion of Dr. Foster.
Fuck with me, you know I got it.
Yes, Rick has just come out of Dr. Foster.
Sex bitch, I hope she got it.
And he feels confident in his new
Come fuck with me, you know I got it.
Dr. Foster Glasses.
I just landed in Europe, nigga.
In his brand new Dr. Foster glasses.
Shopping bags, I'm a tourist, nigga.
Big glasses, big stupid glasses.
Money talk, I speak fluent, nigga.
With purple frames.
Reeboks on, I just do it, nigga.
Purple Reeboks.
Look at me, I'm pure, nigga. I bet the hoes on my tour, nigga. I don't bop, I do the money dance. My bitch whip cause 100 grand. Red bird, you see me slide.
That's Rick Ross and Jay-Z. Fuck with me, you know I got it.
Sex bitch, I know
oh
she got
God.
It.
Oh, the language.
Fuck with me, you know I got it.
The language.
Fuck with me, you know
but you like to use it when it suits you with the whole dick tease thing.
I didn't say dick tease.
Sex bitch, I hope she got it.
All right. Who the hell did we just have on the line? That was, Lloyd. He was talking about notching some bull haircuts. We still don't know anything about why this guy, Kim Jong. Anyway, check out the news. You'll find out. I'm reading that. I told you I'm reading that book, which is the, what's that book I'm reading?
You're reading The Impossible State.
The Impossible State. Yeah, it's about North Korea. So join us on our BSP-only Saturday show. That is the Phil's BSP-only Saturday show. Between the ears, and that's what I guess we'll call it, you know.
Well, whatever that means.
You know what, Margaret? It means whatever we want it to mean. So this guy, Kim Jong-un, is nowhere to be found. So they're pretty sure that this jackass is gone, man. He is gone, baby. He ain't the leader of that country no more. I'll bet you anything the guy's in jail. What do you think?
Well, what are you trying to say anyway? This is North Korea. They've got atomic weapons and bombs. And everything.
What is it with these guys? These North Korean generals are the funniest looking guys I ever saw with those hats.
Those are the traditional communist hat.
Yeah, that you look at those commie hats, man, you feel real weird looking at those.
Well, no question. They got those big, gigantic hats. Anyway, this dude is not at a very important celebration of the country's revolution, you know, liberation, however they call it. So that's got to mean the guy is done for, man. He's done for, baby. It could very well be that this dude is, you know, like this guy is, he's being rehabilitated. Or maybe he's been told by the, because you can see who runs this country, really. It's the military.
Why do you say that? Because all of those guys in their big hats are gathering around him? I mean, Phil, that's funny, but...
Well, obviously. I mean, yeah. It's run by the military. The country's run by a military that keeps a very close eye on this leadership succession. There's nobody's fooled in North Korean military or the North Korean intelligence community. No one's fooled into thinking that, wow, aren't we lucky? We've got this pure bloodline of fantastic leaders, and we'll just sit there and wait for them to tell us all kinds of bullshit. That's not the case. They have this narrative, if you will. There's a North Korean historical narrative that they are, a workers' paradise, and they're led by these magical leaders, the grandfather and the father and the grandson. And, wow, look at how special the Korean people are. Well, the truth is that they've got these three leaders. The first two maybe were halfway decent in the minds and in the... this guy is 28 years old. He walks like an old man with a cob rammed, you know.
I was going to say, this guy, Kim Jong-un, walks as if there's a cob that's wedged underneath the ball.
We don't have to have this.
Right. But he does. He's like,
yeah, look at the guy. He's all walking like he needs to take a dump or something. You know, why are we walking like that, Mr. Hunter?
I don't know. Maybe he's in pain. It could very well be. But if the guy's in pain, if he's having some kind of physical problem, and they have said that he has a physical problem, they say he was, what were they saying?
He had discomfort. By the way, are you going to talk about this man with the comment about karma?
Yeah, that's the guy that headed up Microsoft. He also made some dipshit comment that we'll get to in a moment. But all I'm trying to tell you is that the guy not being there means probably his sister's taken over. That's what they said would be the next person in line.
Yeah, it's almost like they got a king on account of they got a head of the same blood.
Well, that's what they're doing. If they keep showing the same loop over and over again of these guys walking like they got cobs wedged, all these guys in the Korean military walk like they took it in the...
God, looks like they all take it in the ass. Nothing wrong with that, but come out and admit it.
Well, maybe that's why he's not in charge, because it might have leaked out, I don't know.
What, that he's gay?
No, not that he's gay. So, his absence is fueling speculation. When he became the leader of the North Korean country, he was, you know, the son of Kim Jong-il. But the guys that are running the show there are the military. Don't make any mistake about it. And the North Korean military has probably decided this guy's a loose cannon. I bet you he said a bunch of stuff, did a bunch of stuff, probably was going to have a purge of all the military leadership. You know what I mean? The guy just doesn't have the juice. He's the son. But Kim Jong-il, his father, was so in charge that I bet you this kid wasn't prepared for what was, you know, going to be the thing. So I think that he's done. It may be that his sister takes over. It may be that there is another hand-picked leader that will be the, you know, they'll probably say he's an interim leader, and the guy will turn out to be the permanent leader. Some guy, some military guy, somebody from the Politburo. I don't know who the hell. But anyways, the 69th anniversary of the founding of the ruling Workers' Party of Korea, and since taking over the top leadership position following the death of his father, the longtime ruler Kim Jong-il, in late 2011, Mr. Kim had marked the beginning of this important national holiday by leading top military and party officials to pay a midnight visit to the Kumsusan, a mausoleum in Pyongyang, and by tradition, such a visit would have taken place at midnight on Thursday.
On 30?
Well, I was on Thursday. All right, Bobby Dooley is going to join us, because, Margaret, you want us to talk about this, so we'll talk about it, okay? And you don't have to flip your lid.
Well, thank you, Phil, but this is a very important issue for women.
Bobby Dooley is joining us on the comments made by Mr. Nadella, is his name. He is the head of Microsoft, and Nadella... I don't know what this guy's first name is, because this article didn't print properly, but his last name is Nadella, and he made a comment. It seems like he has stumbled, as they say, in the first few days of his the first few moments of his leading Microsoft. It seems as if the man has stumbled in his comments, and you know, that women have, for the most part, become you know, a pain in the ass. Not that they're a pain in the ass, but that he thinks that it's up to the, you know, I think that it's up to the karma of these people when it comes to whether or not they're going to get a raise or not. Satya Nadella, he's apologized for the comments. Bobby Dooley joining us this morning from the Western States Homeowners Association. Bobby, how you doing?
Good morning, Phil.
So what is it about this man's comments that so many women took offense to? And why should we care, and what has this guy done to correct these comments?
Well, there's a lot of people who are upset with Satya Nadella. He was at the Grasshopper Celebration of Women in Computing in Phoenix. It was a conference to talk about issues for women, you know, that they face in the high-tech industry.
Now, can I jump in here?
No, the agreement was I got to do it. And you don't. I don't understand why you're going back on that.
Yeah, but my wife, she gets to do it.
I know, and I know that was the agreement, but I'm a professional woman, and you're at home.
I want to be more in the profession. I would much rather we talk about this off the air, Margaret, if you don't mind.
All right, fine.
Why would you embarrass her like that?
Because she doesn't have the professional expertise.
I don't have professional... I raised three sons. I was fertile enough to have three sons.
Oh, okay, so that's what it's coming down to.
Yes, it is.
Okay, if this is going to... You know what, Margaret, please leave the room.
Phil...
Please leave the room. I told you this had happened. So what happened with this guy's Nadella?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to...
Well, what happened, Phil...
Hold on for a minute, hold on.
Where you going, Miss Henry?
Goodbye.
Wait a second, Henry. Where are you going?
Goodbye.
Oh, is he doing this again?
You gotta come in here, Margaret.
Phil Henry's walked off the show again. Bobby, honey, we're going to have to do this at some other time.
Wait a minute. I was booked to be on the program.
Thank you very much, Bobby. I know you understand. Yes, this man, Nadella, made a comment about...
Miss Gray, just rub your nose.
Shut your dirty hole. See, there's going to be... There's a new sheriff in town here. You shut up. You shut up.
You're talking to me, a retired general.
Yes. And you shut up.
You talking to me, huh? A black man. A man that you say...
Just all of you shut up. And yes, if I squeeze my nose because I'm trying to get... You know, because there's some snot in there and I don't want any comments. Thank you, Bobby, for your comments about Nardella or Nardella or Nardhead or whatever his name is. No one cares. No one cares what he has to say because it's not all that pivotal. It was much ado about nothing. People quoting him to try to get him fired. And I'll have none of it. The North Korean situation, no one cares about. The other stories that I wanted to get into and that I will not at this particular time. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, everyone's leaving the studio now, everyone, and there's...
They had me on the air, and I think I'm off the air now. What? Hello? Hello? They had me off the air, and I was...
Can you just get him back on there?
Is Phil Henry there? Is Phil Henry there? Is there anyone there from the Phil Henry show? You know what? Hang it up, Steve. Hang it up, Steve.
I spoke to God today, and she said that she's ashamed. What have I become? What have I done?